You're listening to Cocoa Radio. We go behind the scenes with macOS 10 developers around the world. This week, I'm happy to bring you a number of episodes recorded live at Macworld San Francisco 2007. I caught up with a number of developers I think you'll really enjoy. So kick back and have a listen. And if you have questions or comments, please post them in the comments on cocoaradio.com. Additionally, if you have any show ideas or if you have an application yourself you'd like to talk about on the show, please send me an email to cocoaradio@mac.com. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy the show.
This is Blake Burris. I'm at the actual Mash Pit plus Cocoa Dev House event at Obvious headquarters in South Park, San Francisco. They are the creators of Twitter and Odeo. And we just had some more Mac developers join us from Macworld, including Scott Stevenson of Theo Cacao. We were just actually discussing how exactly you should pronounce that. So you want to tell us, give us a little background on what your blogs are and what you do?
My thing is I help Cocoa developers figure out how to write better apps, how to learn more about the APIs and get their ideas onto the screen. So
tell them where to find the blog while they're listening if they're not driving.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Your main blog.
Oh, yeah, it's Theo Cacao, I guess is how we're going to say it. In my head, it always sounds like Theo Cocoa. Yeah, Theocacao.
Okay,
but
cool.
It's linked from Cocoa Dev Central.
Cocoa Dev Central, right.
That's the main one.
Okay.
And then the new one is Cocoa Blogs, which is sort of tracking all the goings-on and the...
It's kind of an aggregate feed of all the Cocoa bloggers.
They're all hand-picked, though. That's something I realized that a lot of people don't really realize. It's not just mechanical aggregation. It's, you know,
right.
I read something, I say, well, this is interesting, and I put it on there, and that's been pretty successful.
So you're, like, hand-selecting the post that you add there?
Yeah, everything that ends up there, for the most part, I've read. So
if
something's on there, you know, I've at least personally decided this is pretty interesting, which I think is more useful than just sort of a blind aggregation of a bunch of different sites.
And there's way too much content, right? And a lot of bloggers, a lot of Cocoa bloggers even put lots of personal information in there. Including your delicious links and all that stuff. So it gets really messy fast.
Yeah.
So how long have you been around the Cocoa developer world? And tell us a bit about your history.
I think I got started in all this about 3 or 4 years ago, a little bit into the macOS 10 cycle.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine had previously done some OpenStep development, and he was migrating into the macOS 10 side. And he said, hey, you should really take a look at this. This seems interesting. And it was interesting because initially I came from more of a scripting language, Java side of the world. And I was like, well, okay, it sounds like you can write Cocoa apps with Java. You know, it's like, I want to figure out how to do that. And the more time I spent talking to people that were working on it, they're like, no. You really want to be using Objective-C. It's going to
That probably brought a lot of people in to at least kick the tires. And
Objective-C
couldn't be that bad.
Yeah, it was interesting because at the time everyone's like, well, why do we need another language? You know, and now I think it's pretty clear that, you know, the language features make a lot of sense for Cocoa, and it was a hard story to sell at the time.
Right.
So I think that Java support served its purpose, and now it's sort of deprecated. But now there's Cocoa, Ruby Cocoa, and there's the new bridges coming in Leopard. So I think that'll bring more people in the same way, but in a more sustainable manner.
So what type of work were you doing back then when you first came across the Java world? Web development?
Yeah, I was doing mostly web development, and it's interesting. I think my experience with web design and web development really fit really well with doing the tutorial sites because I could take the knowledge about Cocoa that I picked up recently in Objective-C and sort of combine it with the years of experience I had creating websites.
Mm-hmm.
So the success that I've had with Cocoa Dev Central and Cocoa Blogs and my blog, you know, all two separate parts of my life came together to make those things work. So it's sort of an unusual situation I found myself in.
Are you also doing any consulting, like actual consulting projects?
I for a while was doing consulting on web development and web design, things like that. And I don't do so much of that anymore, but I do it for some Cocoa developers because I found that pretty interesting. But
it's kind of a couple hours. Are they buying like a package of like a tutoring sessions or?
Oh, you're talking about
how you're structuring
that.
Yeah,
the tutoring is it varies from person to person, but a lot of times it's some fairly experienced developer and they have trouble understanding one particular framework, one set of APIs.
Right.
And they just buy some time with me and I just sort of run through whatever issue is that they're having. And sometimes it's in person, sometimes it's over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Just whatever works
pretty
best.
Cool. Yeah. Cocoa coaching, huh?
Yeah,
Cocoa
exactly. Coach? Yeah. Yeah, so that's gone really well for me.
I didn't know you were doing that. It's really interesting. And how else do you, so where are you based?
Sunnyvale. So that's just about 5 minutes from Cupertino.
So you've never been sucked into the mothership?
No, I've talked to people here and there, but, you know, who knows what tomorrow will bring. But for now, yeah, it's all independent.
Okay, cool. So what are you most excited about post-Macworld? And we had the big phone bomb.
Yeah.
A lot of people are pontificating about whether or not it's open, closed, and whatnot.
That's been a huge deal. I think everyone saw, at least when I saw the keynote and I saw the slide that talked about, look at all these things we have on this phone. We've got core animation, we've got Cocoa, we've got networking, and I think everyone, all the developers anyway in the audience, thought, all right, we're going to write apps for this thing. And then this sort of bubbled up to the surface that, well, it's a closed platform, and, you know, well, can you write widgets? Can you write any kind of apps? It's not real clear. So I think we're all still trying to figure out, you know, what that's going to mean long term. The best version that I've heard is that it's going to start out closed, and then over time, it's going to become more public, hopefully. And I think that sort of follows the Apple pattern, where they'll have private API that they start off with, and it kind of evolves into a more public API, because I would think that they would want people writing apps for this long term.
Well, they got to protect that out-of-box experience on a handset. I mean, look at what comes packaged on a Palm. I mean, the most absurd, or at least back when I used to have Palm phones, it was just these absurd little like shareware apps that were horrible and made a horrible impression.
Yeah.
Or that worse, they didn't work, you know, or work like you'd expect them to work.
Yeah, there's definitely a real balancing act in their position, and I wouldn't entirely fault them for deciding that it's going to be a closed platform long term, because I understand what they're trying to do. At the same time, a Mac developer is not the same as any old developer. So if they can get sort of the cream of the crop into that, you know, maybe there's some sort of balance between nobody and everybody. You know, maybe there's some sort of approval process. I don't know.
At least vet the icons.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, feedback will have a big part in it. If everyone says, listen, we really want to write apps for this, I mean, maybe that's going to have an impact.
So. Yeah, I just got to say they're gonna open it. And Dash Code, I think, is a perfect fit. At least maybe the widget piece is like the first thing they open up and say. They set the stage in August with Dash Code, right? And I was like kind of envisioning then that would be the ultimate destination for a widget.
Yeah.
It's on a mobile device, an ultimate like wireless endpoint.
Right.
And I was actually playing with Widsets, a Nokia app it runs on the Symbian OS and dual widgets, but the user experience isn't seamless at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I doubt they have a whole lot of uptake.
Yeah.
So that's got to work.
I saw Dash Code, and I think after the keynote, that was sort of my same impression too. It's, you know, well, where was this? What was the motivation for this thing? And now, sort of looking at the iPhone, it's hard to not see the two as being connected in some way. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes.
It's a huge opportunity because we know 10 million units on the streets the first year.
Right.
I mean, I can just guarantee that. I bet they'll have a shortage, like a Wii shortage, the entire two remaining quarters of 2007, right?
Right.
That's what's pretty amazing. It's 10 million units the first year, but that's only 6 months worth of sales.
Yeah, and I don't think they'll have any trouble because I remember, you know, I've got a Sidekick, and it's probably, for a Mac user, it's the best thing that's out there, but it's not an Apple device. You know, you wouldn't mistake it for something from Apple. So there's such a huge gap between what I've seen for the iPhone and everything else. They're going to pounce on it, I think.
Well, that's the Sidekick's a great example. I actually interviewed the Markspace guys. Mm-hmm. You'll hear the interview. If you didn't hear it, go back and find it. I haven't posted either of them yet. So, but the idea with the Sidekick, you know, Danger went to the carriage and say, we can kind of create this walled garden experience. It'll give a great mobile experience. But guess who's in charge? The carrier. And my confidence in the iPhone and its resultant sort of economy is that I think Apple holds the cards in the carrier. You know, that Singer knows that nothing works right. I mean, all these phones, and they love selling them and talking them up, be it the Razor, and, you know, they love to see the sales of these higher-end phones. But I think they'll trust Apple with the experience as well as the hardware.
Yeah, they clearly have a proven track record with a number of different avenues, and I think Singular realizes that, you know, Apple's, from what I hear, they agreed to the contract without even seeing the phone.
Well, they also saw the destruction of the traditional way of doing business in the music industry. So they said, okay, we're not going to win this. And if we don't, we're not going to get in the car with them, someone else will.
Right. Yeah. I think it made a lot of sense. And they were actually the ones, I think, that originally got on board with iSync and all that way back when the Bluetooth integration.
Yeah.
So that made a lot of sense to me, you know.
Yeah.
People talked earlier about it's going to be Singular that they're going to partner with, and that didn't come as a big surprise.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So you guys came over here, a couple of with several other Mac developers came by this Mash Pit. What are your kind of impressions of what we're talking about with web services and kind of mixing everything up?
It's interesting the combination here. We've got, you know, I came over with the Midnight Apps guys for cha-ching, and you know, there's huge amounts of parallels between what Cocoa developers are working on and what Rails and Web 2.0 developers are working on. It's a lot of the same ideas. You know, it's like simplify, focus on the things that are really important, and, you know, build using some really great tools. And I think
figure out what problem you want to solve,
right,
and do what makes sense in the cloud, and do what makes sense on the mobile device or any other extended device as well as the desktop.
Yeah, I think it's just a, I don't know, I guess in 5-10 years back, it's always been sort of the enterprise-centric view of the world, where it's, you know, we've got all this list of features we want, and we want to sell to these really huge contracts, and now it seems things are moving more towards the consumer or sort of grassroots, mm-hmm. you know, style approach to things. I don't know exactly what the words are to describe it, but you see it a lot.
Yeah, and there's a lot of great innovation happening on the web. Like we're looking at up here on the wall, Projector is the Twitter, kind of Twitter APIs, and what these guys are doing tying into SMS services, but there's a lot of implications for what that means on the desktop. Yeah. And they jack into your desktop through the Jabber APIs with mm-hmm. Google through Gtalk, and there's some real neat opportunities to build some of that functionality into other apps. And that's just one sort of solution idea. But
yeah, I think this stuff is pretty interesting in combination with the Cocoa side of things, because you know you can leverage the services that are out there with these Web 2.0 sites and then provide something, a cover that's specifically suited to Mac OS X mm-hmm. and talks to these back-end services. Kind of what you were saying with like the iTunes model, where you've got the services being provided on one side and then you've got this custom Mac OS X mm-hmm. client on top.
It's kind of like WebKit wrapped in a nice Cocoa app.
Right, yeah.
And I think iTunes is a great example of a hybrid kind of future.
Yeah.
So you perfect, obviously all that can't happen in your machine, but you do have a local cache that's your music, so it's a very complex model
yeah.
in iTunes' case. But there's also a lot of stuff you want to feed from the cloud, and hopefully ultimately things like Last FM type functionality.
Yeah.
So your buddies have to be in the cloud, and you can add people and discover people based on their musical taste and browse music based on kind of social networking methods or whatever we see in the Web 2.0 world. Well, this is kind of the first session of our podcast session, rather, of kind of a Mac plus web session. We'll see what comes out of this, and maybe we'll something post on the website.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks a lot.